brings you The World of Gene Shepherd.
Tonight's Mystery Ding Dong Show, we will award the $50,000 jackpot United Cigar Store prize. $50,000 in cigar store coupons will be yours. That's a fantastic prize. It's already had to happen. Did you know that already a guy passed into the great beyond within the past year? And I have the facts here before me. And incidentally, I'm going to put this clipping into my vast file of truly significant trivia as to how our time really was. A man died, in Kentucky or Ohio, someplace like that, about a year ago. And he left his entire estate was left in green stamps. That's all he left. It had to come. That's so classically American that we just, it's blindingly American. It comes right out of the ear in red, white, and blue colors. So give me a little of that march music, please. I think it's time to do a little marching, please. All together now. And as we march around the... What radio show, by the way, used to always have a thing where it says, it's time to march around the breakfast table. Oh, God. All right, let's. I got to play. Come on, bring it up, big. You kind of like that, don't you? You want to hear more? Never heard a bass? You like that, don't you? You never heard a bass kazoo played? You never did? All right, I'll give you another variation of that. Please give me Yakety on the same cut there. Yakety on the same cut. I don't know why I'm doing this. That's out of sheer perversity. All right, oh, yeah, yeah. Have you ever had the feeling your head's going to sleep? All right, let's go now. One, two, three, four. Oh, yeah. Once again, you're confronted with sheer talent. The mysterious, enigmatic face of the truly gifted. Do you have my march set up in there? Okay, it's time now for Sports Views, here, there, and everywhere. Good afternoon, sport fans. It's Stan Lamox and the Sports News. And tonight, we celebrate and salute a real champion. You want to hear the story of a winner from Spivey's Corner, North Carolina, hollering into a microphone? It wasn't the way that 83-year-old Paul Parker used to do it, but Parker, a retired Sampson County farmer from Spivey Corner, North Carolina, rolled up his sleeves, gripped the standing microphone, and gave the judges of the 6th National Hollering Contest last Saturday what they consider the best holler of the 13 top contestants vying for the coveted national championship. The father of 9 children and grandfather of 10, who tried for the crown 3 years ago and now finally made it again, said that he'd been hollering most of his life. Sounds like most of my friends, and he still hollers to call the cows in at night. Yeah, it means a heap, I think. He said, "I means a heap. I'm now a champ." He said, "It'll mean a lot to folks who think that I'm old, and I'm old." Yeah, that's what they say, but I ain't old when I'm a champ, right? I wish you could have heard me holler 30 years ago. Ain't nothing to what I'm doing today compared to then. The hollering contest has been going for many years. Hollering is one of the earlier forms of communication in the country. Did you know that? Rural residents developed their own distinct hollers, many of them sounding like a cross between a yodel and a hum, and used them in communicating with neighbors who may be a mile or 2 miles away. Also, calling in the cattle and hogs, calling the dogs, and signaling distress. Now, the human voice is not used since the days of communication, you know, with electronic means. Is not used the way it once was. This is true. And I, at one time, lived in Kentucky. A very brief, hectic, sweaty time, I lived in Kentucky. And I once went down to southern Kentucky with a friend of mine. We drove down through Lexington, and we watched actual hollerers at work. Now, these guys didn't do it for kicks. They were guys that used it in their daily life. And then they would come together and have these fantastic exhibitions where they'd show each other, you know, how they hollered. And you know how a hollerer stands? You see a hollerer, a real hollerer. Now, for those of you who don't know what it is, it's literally hollering. Now, a holler is it's not just a matter of being loud. It's a matter of developing a sound that has penetration. Certain sounds will travel further, as you know, than other sounds. Now, they're not necessarily louder than other sounds, but they have a peculiar penetrating quality to them. And so you'll see a great hollerer getting ready to holler. And how he does it is fantastic to watch him. He didn't just stand there and yell. You'll see a holler going, he stands up, see, and holler is getting ready to holler, see. And he has observed where whoever it is that he's going to holler to. In other words, he's aiming his holler. Now, he'll stand up very tall. He'll stand up as high as he can and take deep breaths. He'll sort of wind up and go. You'll see this guy going, and he's got his neck is bugging out. And all around him, of course, are hills. Now, hollering is rarely done in flat country for some reason or other. This is a hill thing. And you'll see this guy taking these deep breaths. And then when he gets ready to holler, you'll see him do this. That's a holler. You like that? Yes, sir. Let Mike Douglas try that. Now, that's the way a hollerer sounds. Now, a hollerer, among his own circle, he may have his own, they all actually do, they have their own sound that is identified by the other guy. So, if there's a guy way over on the other hill, see, and he hears something like this, he knows that's Caleb. See, because Caleb has that flutter in it, see? Now, on the other hand, there's other variations like this. You hear this guy do it. You know, that's old Hank. And so each guy has his sound. Now, why does he have his sound? See, he wants to tell his friend that he's coming, you know. The guy may be all the way over there on the other side. Now, they have cries for distress. If the guy wants help, he may come on and just shout like this. And that will echo throughout the hills, and they know that Caleb's in trouble. Now, that's fascinating. You know that hill people have developed this system because, for one thing, it takes a lot longer to get from one place to another in hill country. In short, if you're living in Kansas and you're a mile away from a guy, you can actually see each other. You know, you wave to the guy and he waves to you, and you go a mile, and there you are. You can take, well, you can walk a mile in 12 minutes, right? Or 15, something like that. Okay, sure you can. All right, now, but in hill country, it may be a mile up some hill. You may be actually only a mile and a half from your friend, right? But it may be down a whole mile down the hill. It may be through a lot of creek beds and over rocks, and then up another mile. It may take 2 days to get over there. So the hollering is very important to these guys. It's the same reason why the Swiss developed yodeling. And the Swiss... there was a time when the Swiss would actually yodel to each other, you know, across mountains, communicating with the guys in the next town. Well, of course, the walkie-talkie did away with all that. But in the case of a truly great hollerer, you see some fantastic performers. And you know, speaking I suppose you can say folk talents. That's a folk talent. Did you ever see a great, truly great knucklecracker? Well, all right, now, a knuckle cracker. You know how cracking knuckles is. You see a guy take his knuckles and he goes, pop, pop, crackety, bam, you know. I've never been able to do that. Some guys, you know, they pop their knuckles constantly. Well, there are knuckle crackers that live in the hills of Kentucky who use it as a form of music. Yeah, and they're actually the rhythm section, see. So you'll hear this guy, he'll be, well, you've seen, have you ever watched Hee-Haw? Have you ever seen on Hee-Haw guys' thigh slappers? Well, you know, have you ever seen thigh slapping as a musical expression? You know, the guy he's slapping his thighs. He gets all kinds of variations in it. Well, thigh slapping will often be accompanied by knuckle cracking. So you get a guy that's sitting next to a thigh slapper, and he's cracking his knuckles. He's cracking them away there, see? And he gets a fantastic beat going. And the thigh slapper's going away there. have you ever heard of a cheek slapper or a cheek strummer? Well, a cheek strummer is a guy that gets a sound like hitting his cheek. You've heard it. That's a cheek slapper. So the guy you'll see three guys sitting there. Not one of them has a musical instrument, and they're playing like crazy. Now that's true. Folk slobism. It really works. Now, if they really want to get esoteric, one of the guys will go down to the hardware store, and then maybe they'll take up a collection, or they'll go down to Elmer's garage or something, and they will borrow a saw. Now you've heard of guys playing a musical saw, so it's not at all uncommon to see a band consisting of a guy playing a saw. You know, he's the Isaac Stern of the musical saw guys. He's playing a musical saw away there, and he's accompanied by a thigh slapper, a knuckle cracker, and a cheek slapper. And it's, you know, it's just the kind of music you just can't ignore. Now, have you ever seen a guy play drinking straws? You have not seen that. Oh, well, a really good drinking straw guy can take a drinking straw. Now, I've seen them do it. They just take a plain, not the plastic kind. You know, the kind that's made out of waxed paper, like that's a regular classic drinking straw, the paper drinking straw. And he will take a drinking straw and cut it into three pieces, each a different length. And he will hold them in his hand together like so, and he has made a flute now of some kind. And I've seen, and with three different lengths, he gets three different tones. And the guy will be playing away like crazy. He's playing a drinking straw. Now, of course, you all know about musical Coke bottles. You know how this is done, right? So I don't even have to discuss that with you. However, there are other variations of that particular theme. Have you seen a guy play corn shocks? Nope, I bet you haven't. Well, corn shocks, you know what a corn shock is like. You've seen a corn stalk when it's dried? Well, a guy can take two of those, and he holds them, one in each hand, see, if he knows how to do it right. And these are dry, remember, and they're very crackly. So he will take them, and he'll rub them together. He'll move these things together, and he makes the sound almost like wire brushes. You've heard a drummer go... So he'll be playing corn shocks. He'll be going... Very, very complex rhythm he gets. He's not playing a steady. Sometimes he'll play. He'll play it like that. But you'll see him going. Now he's accompanied by a knuckle cracker. You get a real complex. Now another thing. Have you ever heard a guy play a percolator? Oh, you have not heard a percolator player? Well, you've seen a percolator pot. You know what, a coffee pot, right? Well, this is a type of a percolator that has, you know, it's got a spout sticking out. You know, you pour the coffee out. Now, this is a standard old aluminum percolator. You've seen the kind of little six-cup type percolator. It has a little glass thing on the top, right? And it has this basket and all this stuff inside. Well, he takes all the guts out of it, for starters, right? Now, you'll notice that the top on the percolator, in this case, is a hinge top. The kind that comes back on a hinge? Okay. So he will hold it in his right hand, the percolator, and he will hold the top in his other hand, and he will blow over the spout. And he gets a wild sound. And he will move this top up and down, so he gets a sound that's almost like a penny whistle. So he's going, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. He's playing away, and he will be accompanied by Hiram there, sitting there snapping his knuckles. Now, often there is another variation, and this is the rubber band strummer. You've seen a really good rubber band strummer, no doubt. Well, a rubber, it's what it is. He clamps a rubber band between his teeth. He stretches it out. He's playing away there. And, of course, again, he's accompanied by a percolator or a thigh slapper, or occasionally he will be accompanied by a guy playing the musical spoons, which you, of course, know about the musical spoons. I don't have to belabor you with this. We all know that. Now, there is another type. Have you ever heard of a musical gurgler? Ah, I've caught you again. Well, how can I best say this and remain still within the bounds of moderately good taste? Well, a musical gurgler is a guy that can take a... he usually does it with corn whiskey, is what he does it with, because it gives him a little more motivation. And he takes a mouthful of corn whiskey, and he literally gurgles. You know when you gargle? Have you ever gargled, you know? And you gargle in the morning, and you get this... You can actually make little sound. You've ever done that? Okay. Now, a true artist at this can keep this up. It's incredible. A guy can do this for, it seems like, 10 minutes without taking a breath. And he will often gargle, and it's great, especially if you have an echo chamber and you sign up with Mercury and get a guy playing a dobro behind you. You can make yourself a nice fast buck. there are all kinds of techniques of playing music, which maybe you have not encountered. Now, the hollerer is only one form, but one of the great talents that I've seen that is a folk talent. See, we have grown out of the ancient primitive ways that we had at the time of our cave life, we had a lot more powers in those days than we have now. Now, physical powers. I'm not even talking about mental powers. I'm talking about physical powers. For example, it is a known fact that in the very earliest days of man, he had a much more developed sense of smell than he has now. He could really detect things at great distances, you know, like the rest of the carnivores. Now, another thing that man had, you take your fingernails. Well, man, according to the best estimates, the guys that make pronouncements and stuff like that, that man... thousands of years ago, was a tremendous digger. Man could really burrow in. He used his fingernails. Our fingernails today are just things that hang on you. You know, once in a while you break one trying to open a can or a jar. But the fingernail was a tool in those days. It really worked. Now it's kind of a vestigial tool. But one of the great tools of man, what does the carnivore do? What's the first thing your dog does? His first instinct. A little puppy will do it. Well, you put your hand out, and he starts chewing on you, right? Okay. In other words, biting. Biting as a form of expression. You know that animals will playfully chew on each other's ear. It's just a form of expression. They'll bite each other. Now, what does a dog defend himself with mostly? That's right, biting. What does a gorilla defend himself with mostly? No. Biting. Did you know that? Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Most people think he grabs things. No, he grabs things and then bites them. But biting is the primary means of, bringing out a sudden demise. Now, we have forgotten about this. And have you ever seen two guys... go at it in the Florida Everglades, which is where this still exists, biting as a form of major fighting. Men who do not fight with their hands, but bite. You've never heard of this? You'd have now. And I might say that there are, if you think I'm inventing this, these are the same, these guys will actually have a fight that'll go on maybe for an hour, and the guy that draws first real blood will win. And the human jaw is a powerful thing. Oh, it's fantastic. Do you know that the jaw and the jaw pressures that you can get with your jaw are the greatest pressures that you can bring as a creature? That this is the most strength you have, after that biting. Fantastic. And you'll hear these guys, and they growl deep in their throats. They do. It's just like the karate. You know, the karate fighting is largely psychological. You hear this guy, hey, oh, he's doing it, and you'll hear growlers. They'll snarl, and they'll lunge, and they'll bite and snap. Oh, wow! And they develop this very quick movement of the neck. Of the neck and the upper shoulders, like a snake. They'll slash. Ah, 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 yeah, Kampala, yeah. And the crowds around him are aficionados of really good biting. Now, friends, I would like to pretend, I mean, just like anybody else, that man is basically a beautiful creature that has no base instincts. And if they are there, we can educate ourselves out of them. I would like to pretend these things. But the burden of proof is on you. Now, if you use yourself as a living example of one from whom all forms of violence have been intellectualized out, again, I say the burden of proof is on you. Oh, yes, 100,000 years ago, man crouching in a cave, looking out at the roaring darkness as the wind howled over that gray antediluvian lake, he had to fight with everything he had. Toenails, ears, teeth, neck muscles. His fur kept him alive, too, you know. Yes. Not only did it ward off the cold, but if you had a good fur coat on, it was harder for other things to bite. Yes. So he fought by biting. Did you know that even in some parts of the world today, men, primitive men, hunt by biting? They will actually lope through the undergrowth and finally catch a rabbit, and they'll kill him by biting. They just bite. First things first, Fred. Yeah.
By recording from New York, you've been listening to The World of Gene Shepherd. Join us again tomorrow evening at 6:30 for our next Shepherd program.